Alrighty, folks, Brian Sanchez back here with you on the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. Ready to get into the Sports Report Top 10, and we got a good one this week, folks, and we're starting it with another god-awful primetime matchup in the NFL, Ravens-Jaguars. Who at the beginning of the season even would have thought that would be a good matchup? Nobody, and it wasn't. The Jaguars actually won, which was a surprise, but it was just an ugly, ugly game. 12-7 win for the Jaguars. But the biggest problem was the fact that the Ravens only put up 7 points. It took them about 40 minutes before they got their first down. Flacco threw for 11 yards in the first half. Ray Rice only got 8 touches. And Terrell Suggs, T-Sizzle, was upset after the game. He went off on how the Ravens need to run more with Ray Rice. He should get more than 8 touches. And the offense is leaving the defense hanging out to dry, which is true. Sizzle, is this really the right time to be doing it in the locker room after the game to reporters? Is that really the format that this comment should go out in? First of all, the comment shouldn't go out in public at all. And second of all, it should only go to your teammates in a closed door meeting. Obviously, Ray Rice needs more touches. Anytime your offense struggles and your star doesn't get the ball enough, obviously he needs more touches. But what's happening is, the Ravens are trying to become a passing team with Joe Flacco, who needs to start proving himself because it's his fourth year now. But they need to not adjust to the league. They need to just be the Baltimore Ravens, and they need to run the football and play defense. That's what they need. And it's awful that they're trying to change. T-Sizzle doesn't like it. I don't like it. It shouldn't be happening. That's number one. Now we get to number two, and we're staying in football, and we're staying with defensive players. And Ndamukong Suh roughed up Matt Ryan at the end of a game, but that wasn't the real problem. The real problem was his comments after he made the play, and people were upset because the game was pretty much over, and he went in, and he went low, and he hurt Matt Ryan, and that's Matty Ice, and he's big time, and he's pretty boy, and everybody loves him. But the problem was when Ndamukong Suh said things like it was karma for the things they, the Falcons, have done in the past, and it was the O-line that hurt him, not Ndamukong Suh. So obviously saying if the offensive line would just block, then it wouldn't be a problem because Ndamukong Suh wouldn't have got there. And then after that, Roddy White said that he had lost a lot of respect for Ndamukong Suh because of the play and the comments. And Ndamukong Suh said, do I need Roddy White's respect? Absolutely not, Ndamukong. You're a beast, and you play like it. You tear people up. Your name means the House of Spears, and I can't believe you have any spears left because you've thrown them in everybody you've walked by. You're an animal. You rip people to shreds, and you need to keep playing like that. It was a football injury. It happens. When you play football, you're going to get hurt. Someone's going to run into you, and one day, Ndamukong Suh's going to be the guy who gets run over because he's going to be older, and he's going to be not as strong as he is now, and he'll get dominated, and someone will stand over him and tell him that he's weak. But until then, Ndamukong Suh plays with this edge of nastiness, and he needs to keep it, or else he won't be Ndamukong Suh. I have no problem with everything that happened. I don't like what Suh said about karma, because I don't know about that. But people should not be mad at Ndamukong Suh for anything, because he'll eat you, basically. Ndamukong Suh will eat you. So I'm being nice to him. Ndamukong, if you're listening, you're good. You're good in my book. Now we move to number three. And number three, we're talking about the Red Sox. And the Red Sox, old pitching coach, John Farrell. John Farrell was the pitching coach 2 years ago. This last year, he went to the Toronto Blue Jays, where he went 81-81, which was good for fourth place in the American League East, 9 games behind the third place Red Sox. But that's pretty good for a Blue Jays team that's not the best in the world. And now that Farrell's been gone and Ben Carrington has taken over as the new general manager, they need to find a new coach. And John Farrell was really respected as the pitching coach when he was in Boston. So now Red Sox are looking to bring him back to coach their team. So they'd be stealing their coach back from a division opponent who took their coach first. And I think the move is fine. Some people said it shows weakness that they're going back after their old coaches. But when they let Farrell go, there was no problem with Francona, and he was going to be there for a long time. So you didn't need Farrell to be there backing up Francona, but he's a very good coach. To get the Blue Jays to 81-81 is very good, and I think they should get him back. I think it's a good move. He knows the organization. He knows the players. The players respect him. That will bring you wins. Now we're moving on, and we're moving on to injuries. Number four is about Redskins injuries, and the Redskins, who have were kind of a surprise early on. Now they've fallen off in the NFC East. They are still possible contenders, but the quarterback situation is such a mess. I don't know if they're going to be able to do anything, but now it's really going to be difficult because they lost Santana Moss for 5 to 7 weeks, the number one receiver. And if that wasn't enough, they have to put Tim Hightower on their starting running back on injured reserve, as well as their starting tight end, Chris Cooley, on injured reserve. So two of them are gone for the season. One of them's gone for 5 to 7 weeks. Either way, you're going a long stretch without three of your best offensive weapons on a team with quarterback issues. So you're taking weapons away from a quarterback. Unless you're Tim Tebow, you're not going to win because Tebow's a winner. You can book that. Now, moving on to number five, we got more injuries. These ones are less important, but they have some importance. The first one's McGahee, and this is a little bit of lamenting because he's on my fantasy team, and now I don't have any running backs. He's out 1 to 4 weeks with a hand injury. He had surgery on it this morning. And then the worst one is Sean Merriman. Lights out. Sean Merriman, formerly of the San Diego Chargers, has been having a nice year on the Bills, who are having a surprising year in the AFC East, who look like a really good team. They lose him for the year. So that's a huge loss for the Bills, and that's really going to hurt their chances. Now, when it comes to hurting your chances and losing games, for three teams, it's going to be a big deal, and they're going to want to lose their games. Those three teams are the Rams, who are 0-6, the Dolphins, who are 0-6, and the Colts, who are 0-7, and that's because they're the three leading contenders and most likely teams to win the competition now known as Suck for Luck. The team who sucks the worst in the NFL this year will get the best quarterback prospect in the history of football. That may not be true. It may be true. Some say the best since Peyton Manning. From what I've seen, numbers-wise, because I never saw Peyton Manning in college, numbers-wise, Andrew Luck is better than Peyton Manning in college, and I think Andrew Luck is going to be a Pro Bowler his first year in the NFL, so I would want the first pick if I was already out of the playoffs, and these three teams are. So now for number six, we're going to discuss the three teams and what they would do with Luck. There is one team that needs Andrew Luck out of those three, and that's the Dolphins. They need Andrew Luck. They don't have a quarterback now. When Chad Henne is healthy, he's nothing special. So even with their starting quarterback healthy, they need a quarterback. So the Miami Dolphins need Andrew Luck. Could that have been why they let the Broncos come back and beat them this past weekend? Are they throwing games? I'm not going to say that because I don't think anyone in the NFL would. But I'm sure there were parts of management that weren't crying when they lost that game because Andrew Luck is quite the prize. You put him on that team with Devon Bess, Anthony Fasano, Daniel Thomas, and Brandon Marshall, and you could have a winning team the year he shows up. Now, the other two teams need him less, one more than the other. And the one that needs him more is the Colts, and we'll start with them. They have aging Peyton Manning, who's been having a lot of injury issues, missing this season with a neck injury, and neck injuries are hard because if he gets hit once, he could be out. So if they get the first pick, they can get Andrew Luck playing behind Manning for a while, have him learn from Manning, and then Andrew Luck can ease his way into the NFL. And after 1 year, I would give him the reins to the team because his kid's amazing and Peyton Manning's getting older. But it could be 2 or 3 years when we saw how that worked for Aaron Rodgers. It worked out very well. So it would not be the worst thing if he went to the Colts. The Colts could use him, especially if Peyton takes more than a year or he's not ready at the beginning of next year. Andrew Luck could be very useful. Then you get to the third team that's winless, and that's the St. Louis Rams. You can book them for two more losses because they're not beating the Niners. But if they get him, they're the most interesting team that could get the number one pick and possibly not take Andrew Luck. They have Sam Bradford, the number one pick out of Oklahoma from a couple years ago. And do you need Bradford and Luck on the same team? Absolutely not, which is why I would trade Bradford for another pick in that same draft to get Andrew Luck help on that team, maybe try and get back in the first round for Sam Bradford for a team that needs a quarterback, and get him a receiver or get him a tight end, because if you're the number one pick, you have to take Luck. There's no other way to go in this draft than taking Luck. You could take Luck's offensive lineman, Jonathan Martin, out of Stanford if you want someone to protect Sam Bradford. That makes a little bit of sense, but not when you're talking about passing on Andrew Luck. I think is a terrible idea, and they shouldn't do it. So that's my thoughts on Luck. Luck is a Harbaugh product, so obviously I say give him the go, Jim Harbaugh. And now we move on, and we're moving on to the Angels GM search. The Angels have been looking for a new general manager since Tony Reagans resigned after the season. And the word is that the owner, Artie Moreno, is interested in a guy who is working on a different team right now. And that's Tampa Bay Rays GM Andrew Friedman. And I would absolutely love to have Friedman be the GM of any team, because Friedman knows his stuff. His drafting is unbelievable. Yes, he has high picks every year, but you still have to hit on them. And it seems like the Rays always have five top prospects coming up. And it's because Friedman knows what he's doing. The guy can draft. So the Angels figure they're not as small of a market as Tampa Bay are, but they're not a huge market. They don't make a ridiculous amount of money. And they could use a guy like him to draft and replenish their system, even though they have guys like Mike Trout and Peter Borges and Hank Conger, guys along those lines that are very talented. This guy, it could never hurt to have him as a GM. The reason he wouldn't move is because of, and I quote this from the St. Petersburg Times, Friedman's loyalty to Tampa Bay owner Stuart Sternberg, who has referred to Friedman as a partner, appears to be the biggest obstacle. So Friedman's really tied in with Tampa Bay, and him and the owner are really close, so it might be hard for him to leave. I'm sure if you offered him enough money, you'd be able to get him. But there are a long list of people on the Angels' watch list for the new GM. They're looking at Diamondbacks Senior Vice President for Scouting and Player Development, Jerry DePoto, who I've heard, being an NL West guy, has been in on a lot of their draft choices and trades for other prospects, and he's been coming up money, so he knows his stuff. New York Yankees executives Damon Oppenheimer, he's the vice president of amateur scouting, and Billy Epler, the director of professional scouting, along with Chicago White Sox assistant GM Rick Hahn, former New York Mets general manager Omar Minaya, which would be a terrible move, Texas Rangers assistant GM Thad Levine, and former Los Angeles Dodgers assistant Kim Na. So those are the guys that they're looking at. Friedman is obviously the class. Omar Minaya has the most GM experience. But I think it's a good list. I think Jerry DePoto, the Arizona Diamondbacks guy, would be a really good hire because he has scouted other teams' prospects. And that's how the Arizona Diamondbacks were able to make all the trades that got them the young guys who made them the NL West champions this year. So I think that that's a good idea. Now we get to the final one. And that's about the MLB options. I'm sorry, this isn't the final one. Second to last one, MLB options. Players who didn't have their options picked up. And they're big names. Joe Nathan, Brad Lidge, and Roy Oswalt. None of them got their options picked up by the team. Nathan for the Twins, Oswalt and Lidge for the Phillies. But this does not mean that these players will not be back with this team. What it means is their options were ridiculous amounts of money. So, let's see. Nathan, his option for this year was $12.5 million just pay for this year. That's way too much for a guy coming off an injury that he missed 150 of the games. Brad Lidge, who misses time and is ineffective, his option was for $12.5 million as well. The Phillies are not picking that up. And Oswalt's option was for $16 million. And for a pitcher with back problems, that's scary. So you're not going to pay him $16 million for 1 year. The two Phillies guys, Lidge and Oswalt, are the most likely to end up with the Phillies again because they'll re-sign for a chance to win for much less money than that, but still a lot of money. Joe Nathan, maybe could get a chance to get a lot of money from a team that needs a closer badly who will just take him on a wing and a prayer. So the Twins would like him back, but he could very well end up somewhere else. And finally, just got to mention it because I'm going to get to it in the next segment. But the Rangers are up 3-2 in the World Series. And this is the kind of the way, as the the scorned Giants fan that I am, the way I'm looking at the World Series, the Giants beat the Rangers in the World Series last year. So if the Rangers win the World Series this year, it's still the Giants beat the Rangers. So we're de facto World Series champions, and that's how I'm going to treat it, because we beat Rangers in World Series, and if we were there, we would have beat them. That's the way I'm looking at it. If you're a Giants fan, you can look at it that way too. Keep your hopes up. Buster will be back next year, and pretty soon we're going to be saying goodbye to baseball, and it's going to be a sad, sad time. No baseball, no basketball, only football. Yeah, yeah, you can say hockey's there, which means only football. And that's going to do it for the top 10. Now, when we get back, you're not going to want to miss the segment Got Heem, where we talk about who got in the world of sports. If you messed up, I'm going to let you know right here on the show. And we got two good ones. I'm going to give a little preview because I want to keep the listeners. If you don't like Tony La Russa or you don't like Terrell Owens, you're going to want to stay tuned, because I don't either. And we're going to have some fun with them. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is the Sports Report. This is on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be back after the break.
Talk about this new term, this new battle cry that's going to be worldwide. It's called Got Heem. Got him, little accent at the end. Sorry, Papa's feeling pretty delicious right now. Got him. Or when you talk trash to someone. Got him. You can afflict your tone any way you want. Got him. Gosh, it's such a gorgeous friggin' term. People are going to jump on it. I know it. You're welcome.
That's right, you heard it, folks. It's time for Got Heem, where we talk about who got in the world of sports. And if you tuned in to listen to Brian Sanchez, don't you worry, we got heem. Yeah, Brian Sanchez in studio. This is the Sports Report. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is where the good stuff's going on, and it's time for Got Heem. This is my favorite segment by far. I get to just sit here and trash talk people who messed up. I've got a couple of good ones for you today. We're going to start off with Tony La Russa. Got Heem. Are you serious? A bullpen? Okay, just for people who don't know, the bullpen has a phone which links to the dugout, and the manager hops on the phone and calls the bullpen and tells him what he wants done. So apparently, the bullpen phone wasn't happening last night, so La Russa couldn't get the pitcher he wanted up, the lefty, Reshimski, to face the lefty at the plate, and so he had to leave a righty in, and the righty gave up the game. And LaRusso was like, well, the bullpen phones were out, so I couldn't get the player I wanted in. So that was a big mistake. Are you serious, LaRusso? Got him. This is the World Series. The World Series. This isn't another game. This isn't game 126 when you've clinched already and nothing matters. It's the World Series. You call time out. You tell someone to step off the mound or step out of the box, and you send someone who doesn't matter running down to the bullpen to get the pitcher you want ready to make sure you get the guy you want in the game in the game. There is no excuse. The bullpen phone is no excuse, and you're going to put it on that. That's ridiculous. You could send someone running to the bullpen. You yourself could have ran to the bullpen. It's the World Series. It's a pivotal game. You gave up the lead in the World Series because you couldn't make a phone call. They're not in a different state. They're not in a different stadium. They're 300 feet away. You could throw up smoke signals if you want. Something. You don't just lie there and take it when something doesn't work. You need to find a way to get the message down to the bullpen. Got him. Are you serious, Tony La Russa? It's the World Series. The World Series. This isn't fun time. This is get it done time. Ask the Giants. They know. They got it done. Because Bochy knows how to work a phone. And then, just real quick, Albert Pujols hit and run. Are you kidding me? You have one of the most dangerous hitters in the history of baseball, and you're doing a hit and run? You're just asking to get the bat taken out of his hands, and it did, and you lost. Go Rangers. Tony La Russa got him. Now we're switching sports, because I got two for Godheim this week, and it's awesome, because I'm loving it. Raise your hand if you don't like Terrell Owens. I got my hand raised, because I can't stand the guy, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people raised their hands when asked that question. He held a workout today in Southern California, so teams can come check him out and sign him if you need receiver work. And I saw the video, he was pretty cut. He's pretty ripped, all right? He's in very good shape. He was moving good. He was quick. He was agile. He got in and out of his cuts. It was a very solid workout. He's got a wide receiver with Hall of Fame numbers, and he could be very productive if you put him on a team where he could thrive. I think he still has the ability to play in the NFL, but guess what, Terrell Owens? Nobody showed up to your workout. Got him. Not a single team went to watch Terrell Owens work out as a showcase today. I'm talking NFL weren't there. CFL wasn't there. AFL wasn't there. Nobody went to watch Terrell Owens worked out. He worked out in front of NFL Network cameras and ESPN cameras because no team bothered to send a guy to even see if he looked like he could help the team. Because no matter how good a shape he's in and how good of a receiver he is, he will not help your team. He is the team obliterator. T.O. Team obliterator. He kills quarterbacks. He kills coordinators. The league hates him. Nobody wants him on a team because no matter how solid your team is, he will destroy it. If you think you're a big number one receiver away from making the playoffs, he may be the guy talent-wise, and he's going to come and he's going to blow up the team. He's going to get everybody against each other. He'll get the young star on your team to get too full of himself, turn him into a jerk, and then he'll be all over the place, and Terrell Owens is the team obliterator. Got him. Nobody showed up to your workout, Terrell Owens. Got him. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Got him. Just get out of the league. Just disappear. Make everybody happy. Disappear. That's all. That's all. Terrell Owens, got him. Tony La Russa, World Series, got him. Whew. That's right, folks. I think you could tell why this is my favorite segment, because I get to air some people out. We're talking nothing but sports, but we're not all happy peppy. Let's be nice to sports. Let's be sports fans and everybody's great. This isn't a Fox broadcast with McCarver and Buck where everybody's great or everybody's the best at something. No, you can mess up. Terrell Owens, you have Hall of Fame numbers, but I promise you will never be in the Hall of Fame because, as Jim Rome says, it's not the Hall of Really Good. It's the Hall of Fame. You do not deserve to be there because of you as a person. Got him. That does it for the segment. Woo. That's how you do it right there, folks. Now we're going to move on. We're going to shift gears. We're going to stay in football. We're going to shift gears. We're going to go to the fantasy focus where I'm going to give you hints and tips on what to do with your fantasy team. Mine's very successful. I'm in first place now. You could ask my best friends. I'm absolutely in first place. And when I get in first place, I like to let people know. Now, this is because I actually don't draft well at all. It's because I work the free agents like a madman. I add and drop more than anybody I know because I pay attention to injuries and trends and things like that, and I'm bringing it to you. So I have two people for you to pick up this week. I'm telling you to pick up Roy Helu. He's a rookie from Nebraska. He was an animal at Nebraska. He went for like 200 yards a game along Tino Martinez, the quarterback. He's agile. He's explosive. He can run through you. He can run around you. He's very impressive. And in Washington, Tim Hightower is out for the season. So it's just him and Ryan Torrain, who's a big bruiser. But I don't think he has the ability of Roy Helu, and he definitely doesn't have his explosiveness. And I think Shanahan's going to fall in love with Helu's explosiveness, and he's going to stick with Helu. Torrain may get the goal line carries, which may cost you touchdowns, which are big point getters in fantasy, I know. But when it comes to big yardage backs, they can get a touchdown like that. Next thing you know, you got 60 and a touchdown when he had 10 and nothing, and there's 12 points. So pick him up. He's going to get a chance to play. Redskins quarterbacks are going to be dumping down because there's no offensive line and there's no receivers. So look for Roy Helu. Now we're staying with running backs and we're going to the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to Bernard Scott. He's Cedric Benson's backup running back, but Cedric Benson is suspended for this week. So you're going to have a chance to play Bernard Scott, who could get 15 to 20 carries. And this guy's very fast. And if he gets past one tackler, he could be gone. And on 15 to 20 carries, I'm liking him from the 60 to 80 yard range, which is 6 to 8 points. And maybe he can sneak a touchdown out of there. So he can get you anywhere from 6 to 15 on a decent day. And I think if he explodes, he's a big point potential guy because he can run fast and he can get away from people. So I would pick up Helu. I would pick up Scott. I would play Scott this week because this is his time to shine, and then I get rid of him because Benson will be back and there's no need for Scott. Helu's more of a long-term guy. It's going to take him some weeks to establish himself, and then he'll be the man, and then you're going to be happy you picked him up. Now, I got two guys not to pick up, and they're both receivers. The first one is Jabbar Gaffney of the Denver Broncos. Formerly of the Denver Broncos. Got Broncos on my mind because of the whole Tim Tebow thing. Jabbar Gaffney of the Washington Redskins, Roy Helu's team. Santana Moss gone, Chris Cooley gone. All that's really left is Fred Davis and Jabbar Gaffney, but I still wouldn't pick him up because I don't like to pick up receivers, number one receivers, just because they're number one. Just because you're the number one receiver does not automatically give you the talent of a number one receiver. Thus, you will be just as important as you were before, especially because now you're going to be going up against the other team's number one defensive back, so you'll probably get shut down, and when you have John Beck or Rex Grossman throwing you the ball, I don't think you're a good option. That's why I'd pick up Roy Helu, because they're going to go to running, and Jabbar Gaffney is not worth it because he's nowhere near to number one ability-wise, and that's where he's going to be for the main part. The next one is Antonio Brown, the long threat receiver for Pittsburgh. He's had a couple hundred-yard games. People are getting excited. He's like another Mike Wallace, which is the reason I say not to pick him up. There's already Mike Wallace, who gets the majority of the deep threats thrown his way for the Steelers. And I usually don't like to bank on deep threats other than DeSean Jackson and Mike Wallace because they're just very good at what they do. Because you get three deep balls thrown your way max. If none of them work, you get a zero for the day because you don't get thrown to otherwise. At most, you're going to get 20 yards and you get 2 points. But you're hoping for a big 12-point play. If it doesn't happen, it could hurt your team. Now, if you have, I don't know, like Larry Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson, and you're looking for a number three, yeah, you can go ahead and go for it because you have two solid players who are going to get it done. But on a team that already has Hines Ward and Mike Wallace and Heath Miller and the running attack that Mendenhall is, I know Roethlisberger is very accurate on the deep ball, but I don't think he's a good pickup, Antonio Brown, because he's just not going to get the opportunities. So just to recap, go ahead and pick up Roy Helu. He's a long-term investment. He'll be paying off in the playoffs at the end of the year. And go ahead and pick up Bernard Scott, the Bengals running back, just for this week. And then drop him because Cedric Benson will be back. And then don't pick up Redskins receiver Jabbar Gaffney just because he's a number one, because he doesn't play like a number one. And don't pick up Pittsburgh's Antonio Brown because he's a deep threat only. And if he doesn't connect, he's not going to get you any points. So he's not a solid, consistent player. that's going to do it for Fantasy Focus. I hope those things help you out. We'll take a look next week and see what those predictions were like. You'll be able to tell from my attitude because I got a couple of the guys. And if they come through, I'm going to be very happy about my predictions. If not, I'm going to own up to it, which is what I'm going to do now. Last week, this is tough. Last week, I said don't pick up DeMarco Murray because all signs indicated that he would not get as many carries as Deshard Choice, and he'd be in the 6 to 7 carry range. Next thing you know, DeMarco Murray is throwing up 35 fantasy points and breaking the Cowboys record for rushing yards in a single game. I am not a machine. I am a person. I will be wrong. I will not be right about every prediction I make for the rest of my shows. He was the biggest one, and I doubt I will have a bigger mistake than that. If you listened to me and didn't pick him up, I'm sorry. If you heard what I said and picked him up anyway, good job. It's very smart of you. And that's going to do it for the Fantasy Focus. Now, I'm going to go ahead and get out now, because when we get back, we're going to rep the Bay with P-Ob and T-Baby, who has just entered the studio. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is the Sports Report. This is radio.dominican.edu. We'll see you when you get back.
Mississippi, Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel and a stunner, on them everywhere saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down the barrel of a hot metal 45, just another way to survive. California, rest in peace. Simultaneous release. California, show your teeth. She's my priestess.
I've been having such a good time here in the Bay Area, but it's such a big place, and if I try to rep it by myself, I don't think I'd be able to get it done. So I need to find some people who'll do it with me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is DJ P-Yob, and I bleed red and gold for my boy DJ B. Rep the Bay.
What's up, everybody? This is DJ T-Baby. The Golden State Warriors are my team. Klay Thompson, Monte Ellis, Steph Curry. Stay tuned for the season.
You heard it, folks. It's time to rep the Bay. Brian Sanchez here. You're listening to the Sports Report on radio.dominican.edu. You heard it. It's true. P-Ob and T-Baby are in the building. How you doing, fellas?
We're good. It's good to be here.
Feeling solid. Pretty good.
Good, good, good. Glad to hear it. Now, we like to talk 49ers when we're on here, but we didn't have them next week. So I was thinking, what can we do to talk 49ers? You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a season preview for the rest of the season. We're going to let people know what their record's going to be. and if they're going to make the playoffs or not. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds great.
All right, so we're coming out next week, out of the bye week, and we're going to have the Cleveland Browns, and that's our week 8 opponent. You guys think we're going to get a win in this one?
Browns, I'm going to give the Niners the W. I never liked the Browns. They're a pretty weak team. Niners are going to beat the Browns, yes.
Yeah, Niners will definitely beat the Browns. I'll say blowout, and I never say that.
Wow.
So blowout.
All right, so I'm taking the Niners to beat the Browns too. So the consensus is Niners beat the Browns. They're going to be going to 6-1, and then we're going to roll into week 9, and we're going to be going to Washington. Washington, who I've mentioned on the show, has lost a lot of players, a lot of starters, a lot of offensive weapons. That's going to be in Washington. What do you guys think about that one?
I'm going to give the Niners that one as well. I know it's a tough road game, but is it Grossman back? Whoever's the quarterback is weak on Washington. I'm going to give the Niners that win.
I say Redskins put everything together and beat the Niners. I'm sorry, man. They need some
wins. You don't have to apologize.
They have a chance to beat the Niners. Why not?
It could happen.
And it's a West Coast team going back east, but I'm going to say the Redskins are so depleted by then with the quarterback problems that the Niners can be able to win that one even if it's a defensive game. So that's 2-1. The vote is Niners win. Piob, you vote against them, but you're happy with the decision. So they're going to go to 7-1 after that one. And then we're back home. Another NFC East opponent, the New York Giants.
Ooh.
Now here's a tough one. What do you got in this one, T-Baby?
I'm taking the Giants in this one. I also, not even because as much about the Giants, just the Niners, they have to have their second loss at some point. I can't see the Niners being in like week 10 with one loss, and the Giants are a solid team, so I'm going to give the G-men that victory.
See, that's the same with me. I got to say Giants here, but not because the Niners are a bad team. It's because they need – I mean, I can't see them winning all the time.
They
it's just the Niners.
They have to lose
it's
the second
the
game.
It's the Niners. I mean, I'm a diehard Niner fan, but I'm just saying the Niners will blow up at some point.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a consensus on that one. I have the Giants winning. Not because the Niners are bad, but because the Giants are good. I think it's a good game, and the Niners can definitely win it. But if I had to pick right now, I'd pick the Giants. Mm-hmm. And that'll be a loss, which will take us to 7-2, according to us.
Yeah.
Which will roll into week 11 with a 7-2 record at home against the Arizona Cardinals. T-Baby?
I'm going to give the Niners this victory. They're going to bounce back after losing to the Giants, and they're going to beat the Cardinals. Cardinals are a poor team, one of the worst teams in the NFL, I would say. Niners are going to get that W.
I say Arizona takes it.
Yeah,
here.
Really? Yeah.
Fitzgerald, man, one of the best wide receivers there. Kevin Cobb and him will retain chemistry. Oh, gain chemistry, I'm sorry. And I think they'll beat the Niners in a close one. 24-21.
Surprising pick by P.A. Yeah.
See, I'm going to have to go Niners in that one. I'm not trying to be a homer, but the Niners are the better football team, and it's at home. The Cardinals can win it, but I believe in the Niners. I believe in Harbaugh. So that's a week 11 win against Arizona, which would take us to 8-2,
wow,
which would be just astonishing.
Yeah.
So write this down, folks. This is all going to be true. And 8-2 rolling into Thanksgiving Day at Baltimore, Harbaugh and Harbaugh violence. T-Baby, what do you think about that?
I mean, you said a mouth at Baltimore. That is a tough place to play. Harbaugh versus Harbaugh, I think John's going to get the better Jim. I don't see the Niners winning at Baltimore. Baltimore is a very solid team. I believe best defense in the NFL statistically. Baltimore is going to take that on Thanksgiving Day.
But remember, Baltimore did play at home against the Jaguars. What happened Monday night? Jaguars won 12-7. A weird victory.
Weird game.
Weird victory. Blaine Gabbert, not even a good quarterback.
No. Well, rookie year, but not good
but
so far.
He's not a good quarterback against a great Ravens defense, and you're scoring 12. But also, look at the Ravens offense. Only 7 points against the Jaguars' bad defense. A bad defense for the Jaguars have. So I'm going to go Niners here.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to go Niners here in a close one. I'll say 13-6.
Oh, you got a score, too. Well, look
uh-oh,
at this
look
guy.
Out. Well, man, I'm on the same page with T-Baby here.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go Ravens out of respect for the Ravens. I think the only way we win is because our Harbaugh out-prepares their Harbaugh. But I do think the Ravens are a better team. I don't think they're the contender everybody makes them out to be. Piob?
And I also say after the game, bad handshake between both Harbaughs.
Yeah, I don't even know they'll shake hands.
Oh,
yeah.
It's going to be all over ESPN, though, no matter what
fight.
They do.
Yeah.
All right, so 2-1, that's a loss for the Niners. That's their third loss of the season, according to us. And luckily for us, after that game, we're rolling back home to take on the St. Louis Rams, who have yet to win a game, who I'm sure will win one by then, 7 weeks from now. We got 3 losses on the board so far. T-Baby, what do you have at home against the Rams?
I see this as a trap game. I want to kind of take the Rams, but I can't because they're so bad. But it's still definitely a trap game, and I'm not going to lie. The Rams have a solid chance to win this because Ram-Niner games are always interesting, but I do think the Niners will prevail.
I say Niners win if Bradford is injured. If Bradford's not injured, he knows the Niners defense.
All right, let's assume health here.
Oh, my God. It's just a tough. I'll say Rams in a close one, 13-12.
Wow.
Score again.
13-12.
I'm writing all this down, by the way.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so I'm taking the Niners here because we beat the Rams last year, and I don't think they're any better than they were last year.
Maybe worse.
So if we could beat them twice last year, we could beat them twice this year with a better team, a well-prepared team. So that's another win for the Niners. But this time, here's a tricky game.
Yeah.
We're going to Arizona this time. We have them beating them at home. Are they beating them in Arizona, T-Baby?
I'm going to say yes. They're going to win at Arizona. They're going to sweep the Cardinals. I don't really know why. They are. They're going to beat Arizona.
I say Arizona wins this one.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I think they're going to win at home against the Niners.
So you have Arizona sweeping the Niners.
Yes, I do.
Okay. This one, I'm giving Arizona at home.
Okay. That's
because
fair.
I don't think we're going to sweep the division again. And if we're going to lose to anybody, it's going to be the Cardinals.
Yeah, I can see it.
And this late in the season, I think they'll have played us already, have a Harbaugh game plan, because it's going to be a new game plan for them. And I think they're going to be able to figure it out. So that's 2-1 on that one for a loss, but it's the other way. It's me and P-Ob. Usually it's me and T-Baby.
Yeah, well, I'll still be right, so it doesn't matter.
I hope so. But that's going to be the fourth loss there for the Niners, according to us, which is fine with me. But then here's another good one. Going back home for a Monday night matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers. T-Baby?
Steelers, unequivocally. Steelers going to get it.
Steelers, unequivocally. Steelers are going to get
word.
It.
Nice word.
Yeah, I'm like, $10 word.
Welcome to the spelling edition of the Sports Report. No, I'm not going to make you guys spell that. But I'm taking the Steelers, too. They're starting to figure their act out. They have been the last couple weeks, and they're just better than the Niners.
Yeah, they're just – the Niners won't beat Pittsburgh.
Even though we're at home, I like that we're at home, giving us a shot, but I'm taking the Steelers. So that's a three-way agreement for the Steelers. That's five losses now. And then I think is a nice little game to have after the Steelers, week 16. We're going to Seattle.
Yes.
12th man. What do you guys think?
I'm looking at this as a Christmas Eve game here. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. Surprising. May surprise you, but Seahawks, tough place to play.
Real talk here. Seattle's going to win this. It's too noisy. They're great at home. Man, Seahawks will win this one.
And that'll be like their Super Bowl game. It's like week 16. Yeah. The Niners will be maybe a playoff team at that point. So it's kind of like the Seahawks final hurrah there.
All right. I'll be the guy. I'll say the Niners win because there's no way they're losing that game. It's the Seahawks. And it's either going to be Whitehurst or Jackson, and you can't win without a quarterback unless Jim Harbaugh is your coach.
True.
Then you're good to go.
I don't know, B. The Seahawks did beat the Giants, so I mean.
Well, that was a fluke. Just crazy things can happen. We never know. That's why you play the game. We could all be wrong. We could all be right.
Absolutely right. Now, let's wrap this up here. Week 17, by the way, that was a loss for the Niners. That's 6. Week 17 at St. Louis. What do you guys think about this one?
I got Rams. Back-to-back losses for the Niners in the season. Rams take it at home.
No, I say Niners finish 10-6.
We'll see.
I say Niners finish 10-6.
I'm with you on that one. I like 10-6. I think that's a great season. I think that's an easy playoff out of the NFC West.
Quite easy.
We'll be the only one over 500 will be my guess.
Yeah.
So we're looking playoffs. Later in the season when we get more clear playoff pictures.
Playoffs?
We'll go through a little playoffs. We're talking playoffs here. We're talking practice, too, because that's what the Niners are doing. They're getting ready for this weekend where we have them beating the Browns. That's going to do it for Rep the Bay, and we Rep the Bay for the next 10 weeks. T-Baby, tell them what's next.
What's next? Coming up in a few seconds will be another episode of What Are You Talking About with me and my boy P-Ab. So stay right where you are and listen.
You heard it, folks. That's coming up next. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is the Sports Report on radio.dominican.edu. That's going to do it for this week. Join me next week. We'll talk about anything and everything that's going on in sports. Stay classy, San Rafael.